With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Fold this shirt.
Why?
When we first got married and you used to fold stuff, I would think, how could he be so bad at this? Look at all the wrinkles. And now I know. You faked it.
What?
Admit it. You faked it so I would do it for you.
No, there was no fake.
Then explain to me how you can't fold a shirt. Explain to me how an adult human with thumbs is not able to do that.
I don't know. It's embarrassing.
All right. Hello. Welcome to the Kentucky Dad Podcast brought to you by SB Nation's A Sea of Blue. Big Blue Drew here Thursday night. I'm really excited to get a dad podcast in. Appreciate everybody listening. If you missed last week's or so, we had one of, somebody I've known for a really long time, good friend of mine, works over at ESPN 680, 93.9 The Bill, Philip Baker. And then today we have another one of those guys, only somebody I don't know very well. But Stephen Rummage is on. He does the middays on 93.9 The Ville with Marcus Maben. He does the pregame show. So a lot of U of L stuff. But I wanted to start with Stephen. I appreciate you coming on with the fact that I feel like you're a good dude, man. You know how to rivalry. So I was excited to have you on the podcast, and I appreciate it.
Hey, man, I appreciate you having me on. You know, it's all fun and games, man. We all have a good time. We grew up in this stuff. But, people are surprised sometimes to find out. You're like, No, these guys are actually pretty good dudes, man. We just, we rivalry and then we go on and we have a good time together, man. So I really do appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, there's definitely people that know how to do that. And then there's other ones that just for whatever reason, maybe rub people the wrong way. And wouldn't get an invite on their podcast. And there's also people too. I had wanted to mention this that, on Twitter or social media, whatever, you kind of just vibe with, even though you maybe have never even met them, not even interact that much, but you're definitely a guy like that for me. I like following, your University of Louisville stuff. You keep me plugged in on that. So much love to you, man. I'm excited. But to get started, we always go TV Dads, but then I always feel bad about missing the most important question, which is, so just tell us a little bit, about yourself and then definitely, your family.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Here's the thing, I grew up in Kentucky. I grew up, obviously, in Bullitt County in Shepherdsville. I mean, that's where I was pretty much born and raised. And kind of got into, played sports my whole life. I know a lot like you. Played football and basketball, ended up being a decent recruit in football. So nothing special, but walked on to U of L for about a year. And then actually kind of got into the church a little bit and started kind of getting my life personally. And I know everybody's life, is different. But for me, kind of straightening some stuff up in my life that needed to be done and decided after a year, I was going to kind of devote more time to this, and I did that, and so now, man, I mean, now obviously I do the radio show. Me and my wife, we're young adults pastors, actually, in Shepherdsville at her grandparents' church. So I got a lot of doing that, kind of busy. My wife is a charity. She's a travel nurse in Knoxville right now. Yeah, so she enjoys that. Yeah, in the ER. So that's why, if you see me kind of doing a little Tennessee here and there, it's like, just we're around here, so we enjoy it. And then I got two little boys, man. I got a 12-year-old. Well, I say little. Man, if you know me, there ain't much little comes out of me. So I got my 12-year-old Elijah. Obviously, man, he's into sports. I love that guy. And my 2-year-old Xavier.
No shit.
Who's yeah.
Dude, hold on. I'm sorry. You got his name out, but I got to interrupt you. So Xavier and Elijah. I guess you've listened, so you know this. But so I saw that, I always kind of like Google stalk my guests. And I read like an old bio on you. And I saw that you graduated in 2005, which so did I. It was 2005. And then, wow, man, we have the same spread almost. No one has that. So I have a 13-year-old and a 2-year-old. That's crazy. I hardly ever meet anyone with that makeup. I got boy, girl, though, which definitely complicates it. Maybe less, maybe more. I don't know. But that's funny, man. I did not realize we shared those wildly random things in common, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I always hear you talk about on the podcast about how you're like, man, you know, I'm kind of getting into this young adolescent thing. And it's funny because I give my 12-year-old Elijah, you know, I give him the business all the time now because I'm like, hey, man, like, you know, you and dad are still cool, right? Because, like, I have to check. Now and let me, you know, just to be open so people understand where I'm coming from when I say some of this. My 12-year-old was actually from a relationship previous, before my wife now. And me and his mom were together for about 12 years, all through middle school and high school and everything else. And we had him in college. And it's great, man. We co-parent, and my wife and her are good friends. And man, we're blessed to be in the situation that we're in, you know, considering. So that's been awesome to kind of have that and be able to intermingle family like that. And then so I'll call him sometimes, because he's over back and forth all the time. You know, we're always at, I mean, right now we're in spring ball, so, you know, we got practice. I heard you talking about going to different stuff, practices. Yeah. So yeah, man. But yeah, it's cool, man. No, it's cool. So we kind of got everything rolling there, and he's too cool now for I don't know if he's too cool for dad, but he's moving in that direction. I think if I wasn't a radio host, I'll be honest, Drew, like, hey, man, like, we're still all right, you know, but he likes to brag on that. But, man, I got two good boys, man. I'm blessed with them, and I love them to death.
Nice. That's awesome. And I don't know about you. I'll ask you. I'll throw it back to you. So my daughter, now I'm noticing, like, the same thing. You know, I'm like, sometimes I just don't feel as in. But when I'm in, I'm in. It's like when they're feeling it that day and they want, you know, they got that. You know, I won't say if they want something, but you know how kids get. They just got, you know, their hormones running and stuff. Something has them excited, whether it's school, sports, something they saw. Then they're just so I guess it's like feast or famine is my experience right now. I either get no words from her or she won't leave me alone.
Drew, I was in Disney last week, and we took both boys. And I mean, and to your point there, Elijah, my older one, he just kept saying, he was like, "Hey, Dad, thank you so much, thank you so much." And I was like, "All right, man, for this week, Dad's king." So I agree with you, man. It's nice.
I have to throw this in. I'm positive I had to have mentioned this a month or two ago when I was down at Disney World. But shout out to Big Blue Drew. I was snagging bass on all over Disney property, like Magic Kingdom in the background, just like ripping lips, like people kind of chasing me off. It was weird. Like some people would say, hey, like the Disney people would be like, happiest place on earth. Like, oh, the big fish are down there. And then, you know, next person would roll by and be like, hey, you can't fish here.
Oh, man. See, I've heard that about you. And ironically, here's the thing. I'm from Bullitt County, and I don't do a whole lot of fishing.
Do you drink a lot of Mountain Dew?
Listen, Coke Zero. I'm a Coke Zero guy.
Well, hey, man, I'd love to give you a shout-out, too, before you talk about Coke Zero, because you know we'll be hitting that stuff, the drinks, too. I know you've kind of had, like, a body transformation, too. I know that you've, like, lost a ton of weight recently, right?
Yeah, well, you know, being an athlete, and I know you are as well, run every – well, yeah. Here's the thing. I got a couple men's leagues in me still here and there, but you know, I try to run every day, and it just keeps me competitive. It just keeps me competitive against myself, I think, and just so I'll try to do 2 miles a day, and I was doing it, and I wasn't losing a lot of weight because I ate so bad. So really, man, it was just making a few tweaks to my diet, and it was like weight started coming off, and I dropped about I got up to 305, which I carry weight pretty well. I mean, not to pat myself on the back, but
how tall
I kind of carry my weight okay. About 6'3". Okay. Yeah, 6'3". Yeah, so I got up to about there, and I'm kind of big structured guy, you know. I'm tight end, former tight end, so I kind of got that structure. I kind of carry the weight okay for now. But still, man, when I saw that 305, I was like, hey, man, you gotta get your life right, man. Like, you know, that's too much. So I dropped it down, man. I got down to about 265, and I've been hanging around there ever since, man. So, but I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Yeah, just we'll kind of slide it in. We'll go like in a little bit reverse order this week. So, weekly basis, daily basis, coffee, soda, or alcohol?
Man, I heard you say that. And here's the thing. Fact about me, and it has nothing to do with religious affiliation or anything. I don't drink. I never did. My dad is a great guy. great guy. He's actually, they're down in Tennessee with us right now. I'm down here with my wife. And but growing up, he had a little bit of a drinking problem. And my dad was great, man. I know we'll get into that later. But I just, it was just one of the things where I was like, I don't think I'm going to do it. And of course, now my dad has been sober for years now. So it was more just a personal decision, you know? So I don't really do that too much. Now, coffee, I am a frozen Starbucks latte type of guy. Like,
do you stroll in? Do you stroll in the 93.9 the Villa Studio if you guys are going and just have your iced coffee?
Every freaking day, Drew. Every day I come in there with two things. I have an iced coffee. If it's from McDonald's, it's an iced vanilla coffee with caramel syrup. If it's from Starbucks, it's a caramel ribbon crunch frappuccino. Wow. And a Diet Coke every day, because as we're talking, it's I am a Coke Zero guy, man. I have Coke Zeros all over the fridge. Anytime you open my fridge, you're gonna find 3 or 4 6-pack bottles of Coke Zero. So yeah, I definitely smash my fair share of coffee and Coke.
Well, good. I'm glad you own it. That's good. I can definitely see you rolling in there and you know, getting teased for your iced coffees in the beginning. But hey, you gotta do you. And I'm definitely happy. You know, like you said, you got your body right and stuff, because I'm seeing that now. I've been saying for the last few weeks, Steve, like all the time, I'm like, even going fishing and stuff like that, like just like hopping rock to rock used to be nothing. I was just like, didn't even think about it. And now I'm like, every time, like, shit, I'm going to fall. Like, I'm going to fall. Or I'm up on a ladder just doing something basic around the house. That stuff, you know, I used to just wouldn't even prop the ladder up, you know, just climb on some furniture, whatever. And now I'm just like, I don't know. It's just like my equilibrium or whatever. My balance is just not as good as it used to be. So, but man, I wanted to catch up on one thing too, because I'm very similar. I'm almost the exact same in the fact that I never really drank, just as kind of a personal decision, like, well, socially, nothing morally wrong with it. Kind of the same thing. I know substance problems in my family and stuff. So I have my own vices and I just try to keep them to a minimum, I guess you could say. But same. What I wanted to ask you, because I don't get to ask a lot of people this, is like, it kind of sucks, man, because it'll create a lot of like awkwardness in social situations when like we don't want it to be, you know what I mean? Like whether you know, somebody, oh, you know, drink, have a good time or whatever, or they think that it's bothering you, you know, you in some way, like, especially when I'm younger, I guess. But I always hated that, because like, it doesn't matter to me at all. Like, I want everyone just to do whatever and have a good time.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And yeah, funny story real quick. We were up in Indianapolis. It was the game before it was going to end up being Rick Pitino's last game. We had no idea at the time. But we were playing Michigan the next day. Marcus, my wife, and me, we stayed in the team hotel that night. We're down at the bar, and we're kind of hanging out there, you know, and everybody around there, you start to, you know, Rick Pitino's there. And Marcus has got me in some places I've looked around before and said, I don't feel like I should be here. I don't know why am I here, you know? But so we're there, and I mean, the coaches are around, and it's funny because the guy come up and he said, "Hey man, in here, I enjoy y'all's show." He's like, I'm covering everybody at the bar. He's like, "So y'all, you know, y'all are on me." So we're like, "Okay, cool." So I order a Diet Coke. And Marcus says, "Steve, I know you don't drink." He said, "But you got to order a drink." He said, "You have to order a drink and just have it sitting at the table, if nothing else." He said, "If you're the only guy in this bar not drinking," because my wife will have some wine she enjoys, you know, and it's kind of like you saying, you know, just casually, whatever. And he said, "If you're the only guy in this bar with no alcohol," he said, "they're going to think you're a rat." I mean, so it was funny. I ordered a alcoholic drink. I got the glass, little whiskey type glass, dumped it out, put me some Diet Coke in there, and sipped on it for the rest of the night. It was a beautiful thing. So I know what you're saying when it comes to just kind of like, yeah, you know, I can mess around here.
See, at least I'm fortunate in the fact, like I said, I'll drink in a social situation. You know, I don't have any situation. I would have been good, you know, to do that. So I guess I'm at least fortunate in that aspect. And the other, I guess I should probably say, like, a huge primary reason for me is like, I hate being hungover. I'm not good with them. I'm always so reluctant to sacrifice the next day So that being said, like if I go to Derby, I've been to, lived in Florida. I've been to a few games at the Swamp. It was like a million degrees.
Yeah.
I'm all down. If I'm doing it, I'm going to get smashed. But exactly, man, I said I don't have that ironclad stomach. And something else funny I thought of while you're telling that story with both of us in a similar situation is we 100% both look like cops, like undercover cops, dude, like 100%.
That's so true, man. That's so true. I don't know what the look is, but it's like, I don't know if it's because, you know, maybe we're stature or whatever, but it's like, yeah, I see what you're saying there.
Dude, anywhere I go, like, and my wife even knows, she doesn't even get mad anymore. Whatever the situation would be where I have to show an ID, 1,000% they ask me every time. I'm just like, I try to do the like super bad, like looking in the sky, like I'm good or whatever. And it just never works. Like she just, I forget what happened this week. She was just making fun of me about that. But man, we're rolling here. Kentucky Dad Podcast, Steve Brumage, 93.9 The Ville. You can catch him middays, 10 to 12. I feel bad. I hardly ever get to listen. Sometimes I'll catch it on my lunch break and stuff like that.
Well, man, I appreciate the support.
Yeah, for sure. We met TV dads though. So I'll go first. We usually start there. Didn't tonight, but I guess you heard mine, and I was really struggling tonight because I've been so freaking busy. I've not been watching hardly any TV to pull any relevance from like my last watching stuff, but I was just thinking, I was really stumped. Not going to lie, I hit Google on this one, and boom, out of nowhere, everybody loves Raymond. Ray Romano, what is it? Ray Barone, I think, in the show.
Yep.
And how did I miss that, man? He's so similar. Like, he's a sports writer dad, goofy. And, you know, has those competing things as far as, like, actually needing to watch sports for his job and competing on deadlines and stuff. So we could go all night on funny clips with him. That was, like, the very first one I pulled up about folding the shirt and being incapable of doing that. We've all been there with the task with the wife. So big shout-out to Everybody Loves Raymond. There's hella good dads in that show, too. His dad, Frank, is really probably the
best. Yes. Yeah. Frank is hilarious. Kind of makes that show. You know, here's one thing I was gonna go with. Growing up, I always thought I would be like Al Bundy, you know, where you're like, oh yeah, you know, kind of the old sports guy, you know, and stuff. And you know, I have to say, with my recent, and I have a reason for this, I have to go Danny Tanner and from Full House, and I'll tell you why. Because I never respected. I realized in the past couple years since my youngest has been born. My wife's a nurse, like I was saying. She's gone a few, you know, two or three days a week. And now being a travel nurse, we're not always with her. So sometimes she'll go down for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever. And she's gone. And I mean, I'm a single dad, basically. Now, we have great families. My mom loves to watch the baby. My mother-in-law's great. She loves to watch the baby. So it's not constant, but I'm not a big, this is gonna be terrible for the dad podcast, I'm not a huge kid guy, man. Like I kind of like one of those, like, okay, you know, like just do it. I don't know. So my two-year-old, I'm going through this, like, and I have two totally different kids. So going back to Danny Tanner, it's like I respect the heck out of that dude now. Yeah. I'm like, do you know when you wake up in the morning and it's just you and the two-year-old, I'm like, okay, I've got to wake up. I've got to sneak out of bed so I can get in here and take a shower and do a couple things before he gets up. Because it's like the simplest task become hard. So I was like, this dude raised three daughters. And I know he had help. I mean, he had Jesse and Joey, but it's not the same. It's like, dude, you still are dad with three daughters. I'm like, dude, he is an animal, man. Like, so I got so much respect for Danny Tanner. And the funny thing is, you like hear Bob Saget outside of that character, and you're like, that's Danny Tanner? Holy crap. You know, he's like so raunchy. But yeah, man, I think 100% Danny Tanner is who I've grown to mad respect over the last few years. And Phil, did Phil really go Uncle Phil?
I think, man, I feel so bad now. I want to say, I feel like he maybe got out an additional one too, but yeah, I think he did maybe go Uncle Phil. I have to look back.
Shit. Yeah, he went Uncle Phil, and he went, if I remember right, I listened to it when it come out. If I remember right, he like went to the straight to the Will Smith scene. I'm like, God, Phil, could you not even like?
Oh wow, did he really, man? Now in hindsight, you're making it sound super lame. You're right.
Yeah, I was like, Phil Baker, good Lord, man. I love that guy, but I was like, yeah, you can go deeper than that. So, yeah, so anyways, that's my story, man. Danny Tanner, I got mad respect for him now.
Danny Tanner's honestly a really good one. Could be a lot worse things than being Danny Tanner, but you can take this however you want it, Steve. The only one I can remember saying Danny Tanner was fairly recently, and this one was kind of cool because I think it was J.R. Van Hoos. It was. He was in his car with his family, and I think he was going to say somebody all cool, or he said someone different, and his family was like, no, you're Danny Tanner, kind of as like a diss, I think, because he was like so tidy and stuff. But that was why I really liked him too, because I'm definitely – the two-year-old, that's probably been the hardest thing for me is like I don't necessarily need everything to be like super clean, but like everything has a spot to me. Like that's how I'm like – just clutter stresses me out. And like if you could see my office slash toy room right now, like – 3 years ago, this would have put me in the hospital. So his tidiness, I always respected more than anything.
Drew, we have the same brain, man. At this point, I'm convinced of this because I'm the same way. It doesn't all have to be put away, but it's got to be put where, like in my designated place. So our living room has kind of started gathering some toys. So I'm like, it don't have to be away, but it has to be up against the fireplace, like where I want everything. And I parked the car and I'm like, goodness gracious. So yeah, no, I 100% agree with that.
And it's so dumb. I think about it all the time, like how much time I just waste, like for whatever reason, like either tonight before I go up there and try to go to bed or in the morning before I leave for work, you know, I got to get everything back in that spot, wipe the counters down, like just makes me feel better, you know, before I head out to work. And I mean, sure as hell, by 30 minutes after we're home, it's just going to be the same way. So I don't know what's crazier, you know, cleaning it up all the time or not. So keep doing that. But let's keep moving, man. Kentucky Dad Podcast tonight. Steve Rummage, what about dinner? What'd y'all do for dinner tonight? We got kind of late, almost 9 o'clock, late in the week. We struggle busted. I'll start. We did like, we ate Taco Bell. My daughter was at practice late. She got some form of fast food on the way home. I want to say Panda Express. So shout out to the Brown family, Nutrition Express over here.
Well, I'm not going to be much better. Like I said, my 12-year-old stayed up. He's with his mom because he has, he's through basketball and football right now. So me and my youngest Xavier, came down because my parents wanted to come down. So we're actually, she works in Knoxville, but our apartment is in Sevierville. So we drove over to Gatlinburg and went to Blake Shelton's restaurant, Old Red. Yeah, that's one of our favorite spots. So we went over there. We actually had that for dinner. I had the wings, and we got one of the dog bowls. It's basically a Big Mac in a bowl. You know, a keto Big Mac in a bowl. It's probably the most expensive Big Mac you'll ever have, but it was it was good food. They got sweet cornbread. So we kind of did the same thing, man. Wasn't super healthy, but it was fun, man. It was a good family night out for us, actually.
I do not see those things as equal at all. I almost feel like being a listener of the Dad Pod, you kind of balled out tonight so you would have a good one, like, you know, roll down to the restaurant, have meal. Whenever we just struggle, she's just like Taco Bell. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Their stupid little $5 boxes, Baja Mountain Dew.
Yep.
You know, just try again harder tomorrow.
I know. Listen, we do that plenty around the Rummage House too. So don't feel bad there.
Good stuff. Well, what about father figures in your life, Steve? So I know you kind of grew up around the Louisville area. Bullitt Central High School, I think that I read. So yep. Tell us about anybody that, you know, feel like shaped you into the man you are, the dad you are.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I know the number one answer for a lot of people, and I'm actually listening to this podcast, man. It actually excites me how many people say, you know, their dad. And because it's a big deal, man. It's a big deal. So yeah. Obviously, first and foremost, man, would be my dad. You know, my dad, I mentioned earlier, you know, I mean, he had a little bit of an alcohol problem early in my life, and but he never missed, you know, he never missed a game. Like, you know, he never missed a game, never missed anything, man, and he was there. And I remember many nights sitting out in the shed or out in the garage with my dad, and we would just talk, you know, just talk about life and everything that was going on. And a lot of that is, I owe a lot to him, you know, for how I'm a father. The other person would be my wife's grandfather.
Okay.
My wife's grandfather, believe it or not. Yeah, man. When I was kind of going through that, coming out of high school, I'm going into football. And like I said, I was making some changes in my life at that point. Just started having anxiety attacks and stuff, man, just out of nowhere. You know, I'm this all-state football player. I got everything, you know, it feels like you want. And then I was like, out of nowhere, I started having panic attacks and stuff. And I was just like, where is this coming from, man? Like, you know, and it made me kind of messes with you, you know, because you're like, wait a minute, maybe I'm not as, you know, I felt untouchable, you know, for a while. And it's like, maybe I'm not untouchable. So just, man, they're now our pastors. But, man, just the way he guided me through that portion of my life. And still today, man, I'll go over there and we'll sit on the front porch and you know, just have a sweet tea and talk for a couple hours. So I do that on a basis. So, yeah, man, you know, and of course I had great grandparents, man. I had on both sides. So, yeah, it's a lot. I've been blessed to have a lot of male father figures in my life that spoke a lot of wisdom into me. So, I appreciate it. And I'm a lucky man.
You said something I really wanted to touch on, too, just about, you know, the guests that we've had on the Dad Podcast, and you're right, because it's kind of astonished me, honestly, just the majority, I would say, you know, can speak to their own father and, you know, guiding them, bringing them to where they're at today. And I think it makes sense, you know, because most of the people I have on the podcast have, you know, either done something in the sports world or whatever, they've been able to really make something of themselves, I guess, so to speak. So, you know, this talks about how important dads are. And especially in the sports world, you know, talk about both programs, Louisville and Kentucky, men's, women's, every sport. I think about this all the time, Steve, like how we're just like, oh, man, this four-star running back from Louisiana or, you know, whatever it is. Like, come here in Louisville, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Man, I can't imagine. I chose to stay home, actually, and play a little basketball here just because can you imagine, you know, moving, especially imagine you don't even have a father figure in your life or a dad and, you know, you're just uprooted. So I think it's something that's super important. And I really feel like generationally, too, it's kind of getting deep. But I feel like that people are really stepping up, I think, nowadays, maybe over previous decades, like when we were growing up, the 80s, maybe even the 90s. Like, at least I like to hope so. I like to think that, you know, we've kind of shamed that enough to where most dads are at least involved a little bit.
Listen, I totally agree, man. And that's something that I think us and us fathers, you know, even in the media, like, okay. Okay, James Strebel, for instance, I know you know James. He kind of come into the radio scene over the last year, man. It's kind of really exploded in there, and I kind of saw him, and I'm like, okay, he's a rival guy, you know. I'm like, okay, I'm kind of filling him out here and there, and 100%. What made me kind of what flipped the switch for me for James? Not that I ever didn't like him, but you know, just I didn't know him. I could hear him talk about his kids, man. Mm-hmm. And I've told him this and I was like, he's a great dad, man. You could hear it, you know? And like I said, this isn't just for the podcast. I think I've told James this since then. It was like, that dude's a great dad. He's a great husband.
He's so like, jolly. He's such a jolly dad. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. No. And it's like when you hear him talk and you hear somebody like that, and I'm not trying to just make it about James here, but I'm saying just us as dads in general, man. It's like, I don't have a quarrel with that guy. Like, you know, like, no, like that, that's a good dad. That's somebody that's a family man that's watching his kids. That's being over his wife. Like, and I'm like, no, me and you are good. Like we're good now. And now I consider him a friend and really enjoy that guy. And I mean, same goes. So I do like that, like you're saying, you do find a lot more dads nowadays, man, or like, they support each other. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's a big thing to know because a lot of times, and again, I'm like you, I don't want to get too deep, but a lot of times, you know, you never think of, and I know you ask this question some, so I don't want to jump ahead on you too much, but you think of the woman or the mother sometimes, and you're like, you know, hey, you got a lot, but it's like, man, sometimes us dads, it can get, you know, it can get taxing, man. It can get emotionally like, oh man, we got a lot going on here. So it's cool, man, to see people stepping up and kind of supporting each other and men being willing to be vulnerable and, hey man, this is what we do, you know?
I think it's funny because non-dads, I think, would totally disagree with you in the fact that, like, they do not want to hear James talk about his kids. They don't want to hear you talk about your kids. And then, boom, you know, once their wife or, you know, however they procure children, it all changes. You know, you want to share that stuff. Just excites you. You see your kid dunk a ball on the little hoop. Like, you're all about it. So, and then secondly, man, I don't think many of them do, but you really better hope. I think Mitch sometimes scans the podcast. So if they find all that smooching over James Round Daddy Tree Boy, they're going to be roasting this week. But I don't know. I doubt Mitch still listens. I know one time, actually, I don't know. This is funny. I just looked through my Venmo, actually, this week and saw this a long time ago, like several weeks ago. I think, I don't know who was on. It might have been James. And I just had to put out there that if anybody from the station was listening – and they just messaged me on Twitter. I sent them $10, and Mitch did.
That's it. Listen, Mitch, he has to come. And if people don't know, Mitch is the producer for Andy and James on the Take 3-6. And Mitch, that dude probably listens to more radio and podcast. Listen, it's a job being Andy's producer, man. And Mitch does it well. He does it well, man. So kudos to him.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, even it just being a full-time job, like, as far as listening to other people's podcasts and stuff, like, I try my best to support, but honestly, whenever I can disconnect, it's tough. So, shout out to Mitch. He's living. He's probably got an AirPod in somewhere right now, betting or something, catching some content. So, hopefully he did listen. Throw that up there, Mitch, if you are. All right, man. We've checked a lot of them off, so you've kind of got everything, but you already alluded to it. So, man, last good cry, when was it? When's the last time you wailed on one?
Man, here's the thing. You know, I don't know if it was full tears or not, but I went through right after my two-year-old was born. I mentioned it earlier. I had, you know, with Elijah, me and his mother weren't really together, you know, and even though we got along, she still, you know, I got the baby, but then she would go home and different things. So it was a different feel this year, this time around with my youngest. So I'm like, I don't know how to do this stuff, you know? And I think it's like, because you feel like, well, you've already got, you know, and even my wife sometimes, and my wife, I mean, she's amazing, man. She's my best friend. But I think that she would sometimes even like, well, you know, you've already had a kid, so you assume you know. So she would be off at work, and I'm all night sometimes, you know, with this infant baby. And I was feeling that stress, that constant stress, man. And I remember there was one morning I was driving, and I was going to go pick my 12-year-old up to take him to school, because I picked him up to take him to school, and then I would go to the studio. And it was like so much was on my mind. I just took off towards the studio, and I was already, it was like it was building. And then like he calls and he's like, hey, man, you know, you didn't bring me to school, or, you know, school started, you didn't pick me up. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I remember just after that call, man, I remember just pulling over. I was over in Brooks, Kentucky, man. And I just pulled over. I was just like, you know, just like, you know, just in the car. And
there was probably like, hell of traffic. If you were on the Gene Snyder headed to Brooks, it was probably hell, or 65, I guess it would have been. There was probably hell of traffic anyway. You probably could have just stopped there. God, I hate that whole, I used to live out, not quite that far, but man, if you live in Louisville, you know what I'm talking about. F that whole area.
No, totally, man. And it was like, I literally just pulled over to the side, and I'm just like, you know, in my car, like, I can't do this anymore. Like, it was just like, and I remember just kind of like, oh, and that was one of those days where I was like, man, like, I'm ready to quit, dude. Like I'm ready to just drive this car somewhere else, you know? like in that moment, I was like, I could drive to Nashville right now and just buy a house and never come back, you know? And it was like, but, you know, there was a lot there. So, man, yeah, it was tough. It was a tough moment, though. But I got through it after that. You know, you go back, you get to get to school, everything is it works out, though, man.
Yeah, someone asked me just today, just one of my good friends just randomly sent me a message. Like, I just want to ask you this, like, you know, would it mean more to you if he would very clearly said, you know, be honest, would it mean more to me that if I would have played basketball at Kentucky, or if one of my kids played basketball at Kentucky? And just the thought of it, I was like instantly like emotional, like, oh, my kid play at Kentucky, like, oh, my God, or whatever, you know, any school, really. So I definitely would lean towards that. And I kind of had made the joke, and it's so true. Like, I'm sure that, you know, as they get older and they're playing in any type of high level game, you know, the older they get, the higher the level of the game. I just think, you know, anytime that there's going to be something, I'll probably be crying at every other quarter is what I'm saying, basically.
Oh, no, absolutely, man. I mean, it's emotional. Like I said, I know you know about right now, but I mean, even my son's going into middle school ball. And
football, man. Yes. He's not playing football. My son is going to be, I already decided, he's going to be a defensive end, just smashing fools. I told her if he plays defense, she doesn't have to worry. He's going to be doing the hitting. But, dude, the thought of my kid out there hitting and smashing in football, like, as you can tell, I just get extremely excited.
Oh, yeah. No, it's amazing, man. My son plays football and basketball right now, and he's good. But I'll tell you what, man, and I know people think I sound crazy, but I'm like, my two-year-old, he's got it, man. Like, he might be a stud. Like my 12-year-old, he's good. He does what he does, you know. But I'm like, the attitude my 12-year-old or my two-year-old has, I'm like, hey, watch out for that one. Like he might have a shot. He might have a shot. So I'm enjoying watching the growth of both of them, man.
Nice. I'm very similar to my kids, kind of how they're going to shape up. Well, dude, man, this was awesome. I had a blast as usual, man. This one flowed like a mole. We're the same age. We had so much in common. It was fun. Let's hit dad jokes, man. I'll let you go first this week on your dad joke.
Yeah, man. It's my number one. I tell it to my 12-year-old every time we pass the place, and I've moved on. Once my 2-year-old can understand, I'm going to give it to him, but it's great. What does a pirate say when you kick him between the legs?
I'll let you do it. What?
Menards.
Man, I thought I had that one. Have you ever shopped at Menards, though? You live out kind of that way, bro. You're a Menards guy. It's freaking amazing.
Oh, it's incredible. You can do everything there. No, dude, it's absolutely incredible.
People that haven't been there are sleeping. I told them, this is the way I always tell people about the Menards shopping store, if you're not familiar with it. And I know most people say this. I don't know. What do they have? A little bit of everything. Won't quite. It's more, I would say, more like a Home Depot than a Walmart, for sure, but kind of a mixture of the two. Huge, and this is why I tell people, Steve, if Home Depot has 16 ceiling fans there, Menards has about 50.
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, you can. My sister-in-law says it like this. She's like, you can literally build a house, decorate the house, and furnish the house, and get food for the house all at Menards. Like, it's nuts. Yeah, I love the place. Absolutely love it.
The theme song is lit, too. Like, I thought I didn't like it, but, like, I don't know, I'd say about every 10 minutes they hit you with, like, the little theme song about shopping at Menards. So I can dig it.
Save
like
big money at Menards, yeah. Right?
Big Blue Drew and Steve if you hit up Menards if you haven't. We'll plug them real quick. There's one out off, like, Preston and Gene Snyder, and then there's one over in, like, Jeffersonville or something. So hit them up, dude. And I think almost always they give you a coupon, too. This is real dad stuff right here. That is like 11% rebate, and you just mail your receipt in. They send you a gift card for like 11% of what you bought. Like that's fire too.
Yeah, no, it's like you said, man. That's a total dad thing, and it's awesome, and it's kind of won me away from Lowe's, man. It's tough, but it has.
All right, I might rapid fire a couple dad jokes here because I couldn't settle on just one, so I might do a couple. First one. My wife says that we should break up because I'm getting too dedicated to my detective work. I said, great idea. We can cover more ground that way. All right. Now, that's the only one I'm doing. The other two, I'm going to end it on that
one. That's a good one, man. I was going to say, that one was pretty solid.
I'm not going to risk it. That one sucks. Well, Steve's the man. Again, make sure you're catching Steve. On the radio here, I know you can listen to it, obviously, in the Louisville area, and then definitely can get it streaming on the app and stuff. So middays, 10 to noon, and then the pregame show. So we'll be starting those before long and, you know, getting into the seasons and stuff. So, Steve, you're the man, and we'll try to catch up again maybe after Kentucky whoops up on Louisville in some form.
Man, yeah, right. You know, it's bound to the way the last 5 years of sports have went for me, nothing shocked me at this point. So, yeah, enjoy.
All right, well, good stuff. We will catch everybody next week on the Kentucky Dad Podcast.